Hey, really quick before we get started, please remember to subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. And always remember, you can check me out at my website, which is rhitch.com, for more information. Now, everything said in this episode is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment or retirement planning decisions alone. All statements regarding companies made are strictly beliefs or points of view held by myself and not a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold any securities. Myself or any guests that may be on this podcast may or may not maintain positions in securities discussed. Welcome back to the Financial Breakaway Podcast, your clear path to retirement. I'm Ryan Hitchcock, your host, and I'm a financial planner with High Point Capital Group out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I work with clients all over the country. And it's my goal of this podcast to empower individuals like yourself listening to just make more confident decisions for a secure retirement. But let me get you to imagine for a moment. Imagine you've spent, you know, countless hours, days, years working in your career. You've diligently saved every part of your paycheck, and you're dreaming of this, you know, ideal retirement that you've had in your head. You can see the horizon. You can feel the sand between your toes on a beach if that's what you want. If it's me, I can smell the freshly cut grass of a golf course on a Wednesday morning. I'm not working. I'm at the golf course on a Wednesday morning. It's the golden days, right? Your freedom. But just as you start to drift into this dream, this great dream, there's a dark figure looming on the horizon. It's going to cast a shadow over this perfect retirement vision. And yes, it's the often forgotten and sometimes underestimated character of this story. And my great story here, it's taxes. Everybody's favorite thing, taxes. But there's good news. You're not alone in this battle. And knowledge is your most powerful weapon when it comes to taxes. So in today's episode, I want to talk about taxes specifically in retirement. And I want to give you some common ideals to shield against taxes. Because when it comes to your hard-earned money, you want to keep more of it while still playing fair with Uncle Sam. So I know taxes might not be the most exciting topic for anybody. So I'm going to try not to bore you with a bunch of numbers or tax codes. I'm going to try to go through maybe a couple real-world strategies or scenarios that I see in my practice that can be successful in tax planning in retirement. So with that being said, let's get into it. Our first area of focus is going to just go through some understanding of some retirement income sources and just that associated tax implications. So just need to set the stage a little bit. So let's just review some of the common accounts out there. So there's tax deferred accounts or there's tax free accounts. These are essentially the backbone of most retirement plans. And, you know, I'm not going to go in depth in these. Most of you listening probably know all this, but just in case, just to put a bow on it, pre-tax 401ks or traditional IRAs, those are what are called tax deferred. So if you put in money into a tax deferred account, you get the deduction on your taxes for that year you did it, and then it grows in the investments, potentially tax deferred for when you take the money out later in life, you're going to pay taxes on it then. So you're deferring the taxes. Roth 401ks or Roth IRAs are essentially tax-free. There's a lot of other red tapes in there, but essentially what you're doing is you're putting money into these accounts that's already been taxed, and then that money grows in the investment account over time for when you can then take it out tax-free. Now, you have to hit some certain limits, like over age 59 and a half, but we're not going to go into all those details. So those are places that you can essentially get income from. So tax-deferred and tax-free accounts. There's also pensions out there. Pensions are taxable as ordinary income. So we're talking about income sources in retirement. Pensions are, you know, obviously, if you worked at a company for a long time, you might get a pension. Those are kind of gone by the wayside nowadays, but people are still retiring with pensions. But those are taxed as ordinary income. Some things like annuities, there's, let's say you set up an after-tax annuity, you put money into it after tax, and maybe that annuity grew through some investments over time. If you take money out of that annuity for income, all of that gain is going to come out of the annuity first. Now there's other things that might be a subset of that, but, in general, any gains that come out of an after-tax annuity or what is called a non-qualified annuity, are going to be taxed as income. And then you work into your principal. But the main story there is that it's not capital gains on any growth inside of a non-qualified annuity. There's also, you know, rental income that still taxes ordinary income in retirement. And then there's investment, other investment accounts, so like after-tax investment accounts. And this is where long-term or short-term capital gains comes into play. And so if you're taking money out of an after-tax investment, so again, it can be called a non-qualified investment account as well. That's traditionally like a brokerage account, after-tax brokerage account. And let's say you held some stocks inside of that brokerage account. If you were to sell those stocks under a year and you made some money on them, that's called short-term capital gains. If you held them longer than a year, so if you held those stocks longer than 1 year, you made some money on those stocks, and then you sold them, that's going to fall under the long-term capital gains rules. And there's different tax rules based on long-term versus short-term. And simply put, short-term capital gains are taxed as your ordinary income level, and long-term capital gains are a little bit more complicated. Essentially, you get more capital gains taxed upon you if you make more income from other sources. But in general, most people are actually going to pay, you know, up to about 0% of capital gains tax. But if somebody's filing married joint, there's a range between 83,000+ and then it goes all the way up to like 500,000 that you'll be in the roughly 15% tax bracket for capital gains. So long story short, most people will find themselves, you know, a lot of people are in the 15% tax bracket even in retirement for capital gains. And then Social Security. So Social Security, I did a whole episode on Social Security, but Social Security is taxed differently in retirement. It's taxed at the federal level, and it's just all going to depend on where all your other income is coming from during retirement. So to determine this, you know, threshold that Social Security is going to be taxed at, the IRS uses a concept called provisional income, or sometimes they call it like combined income. And it's basically just taking all the other income you have coming in from all those other sources I just listed, you know, maybe rental income or from IRAs or pensions or whatnot. They put that all together, you know, through a funnel, and then whatever comes out at the end, they're gonna spit out this provisional income number or combined income number. It's a little equation that I'm not gonna go through completely here today. But what essentially it's saying is that however much income you have in provisional income, your Social Security can be taxed up to 85% of it. So to maybe simplify this, to give an example of a married filing joint couple in 2023, if you and your spouse have a combined income or this provisional income that's between $32,000 and $44,000 in 2023, you may have to pay income tax up to 50% of your you may have to pay income tax on up to 50% of your Social Security benefits. If you make more than $44,000, you're going to pay income tax on up to 85% of your benefits. So let me just back up there. I know it's some numbers. I said I wouldn't get lost in the numbers, but here I go. But high level, people are really split. When I look at this or hear from people in my practice, people are really split on this. They're either completely, you know, shocked that they find out that Social Security is taxed at all, or they're completely shocked that it isn't taxed as much as they think it is. So it's kind of right in the middle of the board. But in general, it is taxed, but not as much as you think. Let's just run through some scenarios on some common things that I see in tax planning for retirement. So let me give you a scenario of Corey and Claire. Corey and Claire hit the cliff, I call it. So Corey and Claire hit the cliff. And the cliff is the RMD cliff. This is the required minimum distributions cliff. And so most people should know listening to this, but your required minimum distributions start at age 73, which just means you have to start taking a percentage off of your pre-tax or those tax-deferred IRAs and 401ks. And so let's just go through a little bit about Corey and Claire. Corey and Claire are both age 73. They make pretty good money in retirement. They make $150,000 in retirement from pensions, Social Security, rental income, IRAs. They're taking some money off of those as well, and it's about $150,000. but they've been great savers through their life and they have $1 million, let's call it. They have $1 million sitting in an IRA that they don't need the money from. They want to just, you know, pass that on to any of their kids or heirs. So very noble of them. But what's going to happen is this is going to potentially spell some big RMD, so required minimum distribution tax troubles at the age of 73, because this account is going to be susceptible. It's going to be added into their whole RMD pool. So if you run this through at age 73, roughly your RMD is going to be about 4% of that account. So 4% of $1 million is about 40 grand more of income. So if I go back to my example here with Corey and Claire, they're making 150 grand of income. Now they're being forced essentially by their RMD to take another 40 grand of income off of their other $1 million. So they're now totaling 195 grand of income in this, you know, this example year. So you might be thinking, okay, Ryan, well, just more money. Great. Who cares? It's just more money. They can use it and do whatever they want to do with it. However, this is a big cliff. So, you know, if you think about it, they weren't needing 40 grand. Now they have to take 40 grand. They're being taxed more. It's going to send them up into tax brackets. And then what it's going to also do is kind of unknown is that your Medicare Part B is all based on income as well. And we'll talk about Medicare in another segment, another episode. But Part B comes directly off of your Social Security. And if you go, if you make too much money, which 195 grand is, if you look up these tables in 2023, you're going to be pushed into the next table, which means your Part B premium that comes right off of Social Security actually goes up by like 40%. So it's just these things that are all tied together that you don't think are going to, that you might not think are going to happen, but can really hurt you if you don't see them. So in general, this kind of scenario of Corey and Claire hit the cliff is just an example of, you know, they should have probably looked at doing some better income planning earlier in retirement, like withdrawing money from certain accounts at certain times to be more optimized. Things like Roth conversions earlier in retirement to maybe bring down that IRA account could have been something they looked at. All right, so let's look at another example. I'm going to call this Mike and Mary move states. So Mike and Mary move states. This is an example that honestly gets overlooked quite a bit. Everyone talks about Social Security being taxed, and I was just talking about it earlier in this episode, being taxed at it, but I was talking about it being taxed at the federal level. But what this example is about Social Security tax at the state level. So there's a good amount of states that do tax Social Security, which everybody forgets. I'm in Wisconsin right now doing this episode, recording this episode, and Wisconsin's great. They do not tax Social Security. However, I do a lot of work in Montana, for example. Montana does tax Social Security, and they can tax it up to as high as, I think next year, about 6.5%. So it's a pretty good clip. But in general, if I kind of rack my brain and think about all the states and territories out there, I think there's 30 plus states, like DC even included in that, that don't count Social Security for income taxation. And then there's roughly 9 states that already don't have state income tax on any form. So you end up with, you know, 40 plus states. So a good majority of states and territories that Social Security is not taxed, which is great. All right, so I'm going to try to live up to my promise here and not dive too much into the numbers for this example. So I'm going to try to hold myself to that. So let's talk about Mike and Mary a little bit, give you a little bit of details about them. So Mike and Mary, they live in Montana, but they have a vacation home in Florida. It's a little bit cross country, but bear with me. Let's say they have kids, but they're spread out all across the country. And if you don't know this about Montana, Montana has some cold winters. So Mike and Mary, they go down to Florida for the winter a lot of the times. And if you don't know this as well, even more so, winters in Montana can last about 6 months. So they are tending to find themselves in Florida more and more. So what Mike and Mary might find themselves doing is basically just looking to quote unquote move from Montana to Florida and become a resident there. There's some rules to becoming a resident. Usually you have to live there over 6 months of the year, but look, I don't have that specifics with me right now. But what that's essentially doing is that's just getting them away from having their Social Security taxed. And it might not be disrupting their life that much anyways. So it's a way to just kind of look a little further into their state Social Security tax planning. Okay, my last example is on Dave and Don, and they're the deduction experts. So this is a little bit more technical. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, this was a law signed into effect in 2017. But one of the biggest changes in this tax reform was that it nearly doubled the standard deduction for, you know, individuals, and it actually almost tripled the deduction for families. So given that it's a high standard deduction, it's, you know, likely that, you know, many families no longer itemize their deductions, because it's going to be hard to exceed that amount, which in 2023 is $27,700. But let's say that somebody wants to get a little bit more granular in their tax planning in retirement. What you can do is actually bunch, you know, quote unquote, bunch your itemized deductions for maybe a better look at your taxes. And bunching basically means it's a strategy that where you sequence your itemized deductions maybe every other year. So you're giving yourself the maximum itemized deductions in that year. And then during the year in between where you're not itemized, where you're itemizing, is you're going to just claim the standard deduction. So for the year you plan to itemize, you can do something like this. You can do pretty much everything you can to make your itemized deductions exceed that standard deduction. So maybe you can prepay state income tax and property tax payments before the end of the calendar year. This can add up in deductions. This is only necessary for up to like 10 grand, given some new caps on state and local deductions. You can accelerate charitable gifts into 1 year that, you know, contribute nothing the next. Donations must be made before the end of the calendar year to apply to that year's tax return, however. Or maybe you can, you know, look at your medical expenses. Health insurance premiums, elective surgery, maybe expensive dental procedures. These can, you know, or maybe stock up on prescription medications. You can't forget that. Eyeglasses are another thing. But if medical expenses, if they're in excess of 7.5% of your AGI, which is your adjusted gross income, that can be deductible for, you know, in the year 2023. So this is, you know, not many people fall into this category I've seen, but some people, maybe accountants that retire, look into this type of strategy. So all in all, If I recap here, retirement is often, you know, seen as this golden era, like I was explaining in the intro here. And rightly so. I've laid it out that it's not just about saving and investing for these years. It's also about, you know, managing and planning for the tax implications that come along with it. You know, you need to understand the differences between those tax deferred and tax free accounts. You know, you need to understand the nuances of Social Security taxation, both at the federal and state level, which I laid out. And it's, you know, clear that holistic understanding of these areas can make a significant difference in the quality of your retirement. So these scenarios I discussed, you know, Corey and Claire with their potential RMD issues, Mike and Mary with the, you know, interstate moves, and Dave and Don with the deduction strategies, they're really just meant to highlight how diverse and individualized tax can be in retirement. Because remember, every dollar you save from unnecessary taxation is just an extra dollar that you can enjoy or reinvest or even possibly leave as a legacy. These strategies we discussed today are crucial, and they basically represent just the tip of the iceberg of tax planning. And always engage with your financial planner or tax professional to ensure you're maximizing your opportunities and minimizing your tax obligations. And as a reminder, this should not be sought or seen as tax advice from me. Always engage your tax professional. But that's it for me today. And until next time, be well. High Point Capital Group is located at 1200 North Mayfair Road, Suite 300, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53226. Phone number 414-253-4600. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Osaic Wealth, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Osaic Wealth is separately owned, and other entities and/or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Osaic Wealth.
Views expressed here should not be construed directly or indirectly as an offer to buy or sell any securities or services mentioned here. Investing is subject to risks, including loss of principal. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Indexes are unmanaged and investors are not able to invest directly into any index. Sector investing may involve a greater degree of risk than investments with broader diversification. However, there is no guarantee that a diversified portfolio alone will outperform a non-diversified portfolio in any given market environment. No investment strategy, such as asset allocation, can guarantee a profit or protect against loss in periods of declining values. Please note that individual situations can vary. Therefore, information should only be relied upon and coordinated with individual professional advice. Ryan Hitchcock believes the information presented here is accurate and was obtained from sources that are believed to be reliable. However, Ryan does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of any information, and such information may be subject to change without notice from Ryan. Statements expressed by guests on this podcast are the views of those guests only and not of Ryan Hitchcock. Statements contained in this podcast may be statements of future expectations and other forward-looking statements that are based on Ryan Hitchcock's or guests' current views and assumptions and involve known and or unknown risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results, performance, or events to differ materially from those expressed or implied in such statements.